I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. We are in luck today because we finally get Jared back with us this week. Jared, hey, welcome back to the podcast, man.
Hey, no, anytime, Dean. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. It's a great podcast to be a part of. Sorry, I've been a little MIA. This coffee shop has been extremely overwhelming and time-consuming and stressful. And then I had two weddings go to last week, one of which was supposed to be with you, but you had the flu. But you were a good man and you stayed away from everybody. And but it's been time-consuming.
I was told that Kaylin thought that you thought I was making a political statement with the mask.
No, I thought you forgot your vaccine card because they were checking everybody's vaccine card, and I was like, oh, maybe if you're not vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. I didn't know because then I just walked in and I saw you with a mask on.
The only person in the entire ceremony.
The only person, and I was like, well, he's definitely vaccinated. I know this. And then I thought to myself, maybe he just forgot his vaccine card and they're saying he has to wear a mask. But then I later found out that you had the flu. You tested positive for the flu. So everybody knew it was, but you still felt like you wanted to wear a mask. And then you didn't even go to the reception. You just went to the ceremony.
Yeah, I would feel a certain amount of guilty if I got anyone sick in any capacity, especially like in the state of heightened awareness we're in right now. And, you know, there were some older people at the wedding. So like even the flu, I feel like could be a pretty serious thing for someone like that to get. So I just figured I didn't want to miss the ceremony, and I'm glad I didn't. It was beautiful. Ben and Jess looked great together. But then I was like, well, I just don't feel comfortable going to the reception.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy coughing throughout the entire night. You ever see that TikTok where like some guy said he used to cover up his farts with a cough, and now he covers up his cough with a fart.
With a fart, right. Well, it was interesting, too, because I got tested the day before the wedding for COVID. I like went in just to make sure it wasn't COVID. Mm-hmm. And I was like going over my symptoms and they're like, well, hey, when was the last time you got the flu vaccine? And I was like, I don't think I've gotten that in over a decade. So they're like, oh, well, we're going to test for that too. And it's just funny how we are all like, you know, getting this COVID vaccine and I haven't gotten a flu vaccine in Lord knows how long. So I guess at the end of the day, like I'm happy it was only the flu and not COVID, but yeah, it's kind of a bummer to miss the reception. But so before Ben's wedding, you were at your best friend's wedding, you said?
Yeah, so the girl that signed me up to be on the show, her name is Crystal. She's my best friend, and her fiance is one of my closest friends as well. And they got married down in Cancun. Dude, I've had two weddings all year. It was November 12th and 13th. And it's funny, actually, because my friends who got married in Cancun were supposed to get married on Saturday, November 13th, but the mother of the groom is very religious, and she's like, I don't want my son married on the 13th. I don't know. There's some bad luck obviously involved in that, or hopefully not for Ben and Jess. But so they moved it to Friday the 12th, which worked out well for me because even though it was back-to-back, at least I got to attend both. So it was really nice. And Ben and Jess's wedding was awesome. Dude, a lot of people, 400 people. But it was so nice seeing everybody. Like I forgot moving back home and being like closer to my, you know, family. It's like, you know, made me forget that I have, you know, you guys in other parts of the country that is so much like family to me. You know, it was really great. I wish we could hang out more. I haven't seen you in forever. Well, I haven't seen you since Ben's bachelor party, but like seeing Nick and Chris Soules, who I haven't seen in years, Sean Booth, and obviously Ben, who I only got spiked to for like 3 seconds. Who else Naz, obviously. Tanya.
Michael G was there.
Michael G, Becca, like people I just haven't seen. Like, dude, I haven't seen Tanya. I don't remember. I might have been pre-pandemic.
Like that was and we were all supposed to go to Napa together, right? And then that got canceled. So there were like, it's weird because there were a lot of things for us all to meet up at, but just like one by one, they're like, you know what? Actually, we're going to cancel this. We're going to cancel this. So
yeah, it was nice seeing everybody. Kaylin was a champ, by the way, because Kaylin obviously had to attend the reception by herself because you were sick. And like, I put myself in those shoes. If Ashley couldn't be there because she was sick and I was at the reception by myself, I don't know. I would feel like kind of weird and I might have left early. But dude, she was there the entire night. She was mingling. She was social. I was like, Kaylin, you are a champion. Because if it was me, I probably would have left early.
Yeah, it was funny. Because I left at probably like 5:30. So I was at home by 6, like basically went straight to bed. And Kaylin, when I left, she was like, yeah, like I'll be like, you know, an hour behind you, whatever. So I like go home, go to bed, wake up at like 7:30, still no Caitlin, wake up at 8:30, still no Caitlin, wake up at 9:30. And I'm like starting to worry because she was pretty adamant about like getting out of there pretty early. Mm-hmm. And I like didn't text her, didn't receive any text or anything like that from her. But then eventually she walks in at like 12:30 in the morning. And I'm like, I can't believe it, because she made it all the way to the end. I don't even know if you guys made it to the end, but they eventually like sent shuttles to send everyone back to their hotels and stuff. So she stayed until the very, very last moment, which I'm proud of her for. Yeah, you're right. Because it's a lot it's a heavy atmosphere, but it's definitely a lot to deal with.
Like you're at someone's wedding, they have all their friends and family members there. And then like, especially Caitlin, I'm sure knows a lot of people from Bachelor, but not everybody that was there. So I'm sure she had to introduce herself and start conversation and be social with people that she's not used to meeting. And then also trying to spend times with like the people that she actually is friends with, like Natalie. And so, yeah, dude, good for her. You know, what's funny is that I love how you were like, you know, around 8:30, I was starting to get really worried. I mean, I didn't text or call her or anything. And then she walked in the door like 12:30. So 4 hours later, after you said you were concerned, you still hadn't reached out.
You know, I was like in a haze because I was like in and out of sleep. And I like, obviously she's fine, taking care of herself. She was with Nick because we got her place with Nick and Natalie as well. So if Nick and Natalie had gotten back and Caitlin still wasn't back, then I would have like done something, but I was fine with kind of everything that was going on, I guess. But I want to know more about your situation. So you went to this wedding on Friday in Mexico, and then Saturday at like 6 a.m. or something, you caught a flight out to Nashville?
Yeah. So I flew into Cancun on Wednesday, flew out. The rehearsal dinner was Thursday. Wedding was Friday. Flew out Saturday morning. The car picked me up at 6 a.m. And then I flew out at 9 into Houston, had a layover for an hour, and then from Houston to Nashville. And then I got in around 2:45, drove back to the hotel, and then went to the ceremony for 4. So it was a very busy, busy few days, but it was also really nice. Both weddings were awesome in their different ways, because the one down in Cancun, I was obviously in the party, so I was hanging out with the groom all day. And they had like a golf simulator down there. So we did that. And then we're just hanging in my room and took pictures and got ready. He had a small party. It was only me and his future brother-in-law. And then obviously the groom. And then they had it on the beach and it was really beautiful. And the reception was on the water as well. And it was just great to be there and to see them get married. And he's like such a mushball. So he cried when he saw his wife, Crystal, walk down the aisle. And he's just like such a sap. So that was really cool to be there. And then of course going to Ben and Jess's, where like it's this over the top romantic, you know, busy wedding with 400 people there. And, you know, Ben had what, like 15 groomsmen. It was really funny seeing them all walk down the aisle, because we were sitting next to former producers of The Bachelor, one producer still and one former producer. And they were like, well, there's the next season's cast of The Bachelorette right there.
It made me like a little insecure, to be honest with you. Like Ben has so many friends, like close friends, where he wants 15 groomsmen. And I'm like, I would struggle picking out like 5 people to be in my wedding party, you know?
Oh, it started making me think like, where do I line up in the friendship of Ben? Cause I thought we were like good friends, you know, and I'm not like groomsmen level, but I was like, oh damn, maybe like I'm like 32nd closest to Ben right now, where I thought I was like in the high teens.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt too, which I mean, look, I guess Ben is like one of the most popular and sociable guys I know, so more props to him. But yeah, it definitely lent to a little bit of insecurity feeling, just because I was like, dude, if and when I get married, like what am I going to do? I'm not going to have 12 groomsmen up there. And I know life's not a competition when it comes to that kind of stuff, but you can't help but like size yourself up a little bit, you know? But you had a lot. You had like 8 groomsmen.
What I have, like 8 to, yeah, I had something like 8. But Ashley had the same number. We wanted to kind of keep it close. But I also, like everybody, obviously in the party, I wanted to be a part of the day and be a groomsman in the wedding. And, what was I going to say? You brought up something. Oh, you said if and when you get married. That feels like the needle has moved. Like, that's a different tone. When? If and when?
I just... It's more just I'm choosing my words a little more carefully these days, you know? I think part of the reason I always get in trouble with that kind of stuff is because I speak so matter-of-factly. So if I say, oh, yeah, I'm never getting married, then people take me for my word, which I guess I appreciate them taking me for my word, but it just gives me more avenues to get away with things.
Yeah,
you know?
Then because if you say you'll never get married, there's going to be a Us Weekly headline saying, trouble in paradise? Dean Unglert says he'll never marry Kaylin Miller Keys.
Yeah. So now, so I'm just starting to choose my words a little more carefully. The if and when statement, it's like, you know, kind of gives me an out. It makes it less headline grabby.
All right. So the question becomes, Dean, now you have been to multiple weddings with Kaylin. I'm sure she's getting more fever as the years go on. Hmm. So how's your, I just said the needle felt like it moved. Has it moved? Are you more towards like, hey, let's get married?
Oh, yeah. Well, so we sat next to Derek Paith and Saffron, his fiance, at the wedding. Mm-hmm. And Saffron and I had never met. So Saffron asked me if we're married because I've got the ring on my finger, obviously. And I gave her my usual, nonsensical Dean answer, be it as it may.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. You know, what is marriage? What is life?
Yeah. I said, as far as the government's concerned, no. But as far as our hearts are concerned, yes. And then Kaylin like leans over and she goes, we'll be engaged by 2022, trust me. Or in 2022 or something like that. So,
well, I was about to say by 2022, you got about 45 days left if that was going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if she's speaking for me or if she's saying that she's going to propose to me, which I made it pretty clear to her. I was like, you know, if you really want to get married, you should be the one proposing to me. So I think she's got something in the works for that, which I think is pretty cool. You know, maybe we could do like a dual thing, but, I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of the fallback or not the fallback. The, one of the negatives about going to all these weddings is it gets your girlfriend in a mood to get married.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, give us 12 months, 12, 13 months, and we'll have something, something a little more formal on the books. But
well, so 2022, again, we're going to find out. Big year for Dean and Kaylin. We're thinking, dude, if
the make or break year.
Kaylin proposes, that would be freaking awesome. I mean, that would be the most Dean and Kaylin thing of all time, where she was like, well, he was taking too damn long, so I had to get on one knee.
Yeah. Yeah. It would probably be like, she would probably do it, and then I would probably do it, or like, it'll probably happen for both of us. I don't know, you know?
So what would you say?
Well, I'd laugh at first, obviously. And I'd probably get around to saying yes at some point.
Yeah, just you obviously make her sweat it out a little bit. Be like, well, you know, I do love my van life, and I did say I never wanted to get married.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I'd make her sweat it out a little bit. I will say, though, I'm impressed by her. She's always been like this, but more so lately in the past, like 6 months or so, she like, you know, she gets an idea. She says she's going to do something, and she takes a lot less convincing to do it than in times past, whereas now she's just like goes for it. You know what I mean? So kudos to her. We'll see if it happens. Sounds to me like she is actually going to make it happen. So
that's so exciting. Good for Kaylin. She's a badass.
Yeah.
Putting up with your ass for all these years. Now she's going to propose to you.
Yeah.
She's
we'll see. I mean, I've got some stuff in the works. I don't want to spoil anything, but
no, of course not.
You know, maybe when it happens, we'll all be able to weigh in on the situation.
Yeah, you obviously just have to tell the story on the podcast after it happens. That's all. That's the deal right there.
Yeah, yeah, true. I actually had something else I wanted to talk about as well. I can't remember.
All right, well, while you think of it, I want to tease our guests. We have two very special guests that are coming up after the break, which will take in a few minutes, from the new HBO Max show, 12 Dates of Christmas, which, of course, returns for its second season. It starts Thursday, November 25th. And from the show, we have Amanda Grace Jenkins and Markel Smith. So we're very excited to talk to them, especially we're getting in the holiday season. 12 Dates of Christmas, excuse me, coming back for a second season. So excited to talk to them. I do have something to talk about if you can't think of anything, Dean, or can't think about what you were going to say.
I think I remembered what I wanted to say, but it just is not maybe the time or place for it. So feel free to, what do you want to talk about?
I was going to talk about the Pete Davidson thing.
What's the update with Pete Davidson?
Well, obviously he's dating Kim Kardashian, which is still the craziest shit I've ever heard of. I can't believe Pete Davidson is dating Kim Kardashian. That's insane to me. Good for him, and I hope they're happy. But the one thing I did want to talk about was he actually revealed his major dating deal breaker, which gives me two thoughts, which I'll go into in a second. And it's something that Cosmopolitan, which is what the article is on, agrees with. And I wholeheartedly agree with, because he says that his deal breaker is when he goes on a date and the person he's on the date with is treating the wait staff or bartenders poorly. That's a big no-no in his book. Quote, immediately would be over. In my head, I would be like, okay, never again. That is it. he said that was his one deal breaker. And I could not agree more as someone who's worked in the restaurant industry all of my life. Dude, I've always said it should be a college requirement for people to work in the service industry because it teaches you a lot about how to deal with society, how to be kind to one another, how to be patient with someone. When you have to wait on someone and clean up after them and serve them food, it like teaches you, I truly think, how to just be a better person.
Yeah, I agree. If you treat your wait staff poorly, that's a big red flag. I do want to point out this article real quick. I hate these articles from places like E! News, Us Weekly, People Magazine, all that stuff. For the record, the people listening obviously can't see the article we're referring to. It's basically just encapsulating Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson's officially dating relationship now.
Yep.
But you scroll down eventually and you get to these sentences where it's saying like Kim isn't looking to date strictly. She's just really enjoying her life right now, per a source that told E! News. And it's that stuff that really just makes me so frustrated, or like probably irrationally so. A source told this news junket that Kim's just having the time of her life. No one close to Kim is telling E! News that Kim's just having the time of her life with Pete Davidson right now. And I know for a fact because there have been many articles written about me, probably some about you, Kaylin, where they're like, according to a source very close to E! News, Dean and Kaylin are on rocky waters right now. And it's just like, no one told you guys that. We're not on rocky waters. Like, you're just making crap up just so you have like something to write about. So I'm sure Kim and Pete are doing great. But when I read things like at the time a source told this, you know, news outlet, in my head, I just go, everything that I just read is completely moot because none of it holds any weight whatsoever.
Yeah, the source could be like my cousin, you know, talking about Kim Kardashian and being like, yeah, I think she's just ready to kind of be easygoing. They're like, perfect, got a source. And they're, you know, especially like if you talk to like, I always think that these sources are like, if it's a source close to the Kardashian family, it's like their hairdresser's second cousin who saw them one time walk into the salon and they said hello. And it's like, that's a close enough source for me.
Yeah.
It's like anytime there's a Bachelor article, it's always like an inside source close to production, or like an inside source close to production said that Ashley and Jared are, you know,
I hate it. And I guess for them specifically, like for the Kardashians, right? Like they've kind of built a franchise off of these types of articles being written about them. So kudos to them for keeping on. And to a degree, it kind of helps our business as well, right? So it's not all bad, but it just bothers me a little bit.
I think now is the, like when they talk about the sources, that's what comes to mind for me, where it's like somebody who doesn't really know. But I do think years ago when they first were starting to get their fame, I think that they were the sources, like 100%, because they want to get their names out there. They want to get their names in the news, which makes total sense. Like, I know people who have hired paparazzi to come take photos of them when they're leaving a restaurant because it's exposure. Like, I know for a fact, 100%, an agent of a buddy of mine who calls the paparazzi. And no, you guys don't know who this person is. You don't know who I'm talking about, so don't make theories.
Come on, tell us.
No, but like their agent will call the paparazzi and say, hey, so-and-so is going to be here. Please, like, or not even please, but like if you know, go take pictures of them when they're walking out, because it's good exposure, right? If you're in the news or somebody's seen here, it's just like, sure, it's tabloid, you know, hearsay or tabloid, you know, fluff. But it's always good to, you know, get yourself a little press.
I know some former Bachelor contestants that will go to dinner and call the paparazzi on themselves. And I've even heard them say, you know what, I'm bored. I'm going to call the paparazzi and tell them where we're at right now.
They've said that?
So, yes, I've heard people say that before.
That is insane. Have you ever done that?
Yes. I've never done it personally. I've only really been popped once. I was getting off a flight to go get my hip tended to in Seattle. This is like right after I had my accident, and I was walking through the airport in Seattle, and someone like had a camera on me and was like asking me all these questions, and it was like stuff about Bachelor, but stuff that I was so far removed from. And I was like, why do you care about my opinion on any of this stuff? It was the weirdest thing. They were asking me like about like Peter Weber's you know, shocking ending to a season. And I'm like, I'm so far removed from this. I have no idea why you guys are asking me these questions. So just like, leave me alone. But you like, don't want to be a jerk. I don't know. It was one of the weirder experiences I've had. But
yeah, it's always weird. My best experience with the paparazzi was I was at the Bad Boys for Life movie premiere because I got invited and I was so excited to go. And I brought a buddy of mine because Ashley doesn't care about Bad Boys. And I was walking and I don't know why this happened to me. I really don't. I think that they either mistook me for someone or like maybe it just wasn't that many people around. But there was like people coming up to me for signatures. And they must have thought maybe I was in the movie or something. But then as they were like asking for my signature and I'm like, oh, no, I'm not in the movie. Like, I don't really. Plus, I was also told never give out your signature because a lot of it is like fraudulent. And they just try to get your signature to like get, you know, to like sign your name on other things so they can steal your identity. Moving forward. But when I was like, oh, no, I'm not in the movie. Oh, I don't, you know, and that like two paparazzi people came up and started like taking pictures of my face as I was like walking behind the carpet about to go into the theater. And I was like, holy crap, I feel like Tom Cruise right now. I was like, this is like the coolest moment of my life. And then I was
like, I'm sure you look just like him too.
I did not, unfortunately, but that's not bad because he's like 5'7", you know, poor guy.
You got the height thing. I'm talking about more of just like the facial and the hair and all that kind of stuff.
Nah, he's a stud.
Jared, I think it's about time for us to take a quick break and introduce our guests coming up after this quick break. Amanda Jenkins, Markel Smith, HBO Max's 12 Dates to Christmas. Stick through the break. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Like we teased before the break, we have two very special guests who are joining us right now from HBO Max's brand new, well, not brand new for a second season, but brand new season, 12 Dates of Christmas, which returns Thursday, November 25th. Once again, that is on HBO Max. It is Amanda Grace Jenkins and Markel Smith. Markel and Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having us on your podcast. This is really exciting.
Well, you know, 12 Dates of Christmas, Help I Suck at Dating really go hand in hand, I feel like.
It's a match made in heaven.
It really is. So, Amanda, tell us a little bit about the second season of 12 Dates of Christmas.
Let's see. How do I narrow it down a little bit? As you guys know, there's three leads, so that was a little bit different than we've seen in the past with a lot of reality shows. And I actually really loved that. When I watched the first season, I was like, okay, like I feel like that would be nice to have just kind of like friends and partners in a way going through the same experience as you and people to kind of like bounce things off of. And you're not like completely alone and kind of just relying on just yourself and with all the attention on you. So that kind of drew me in a little bit more.
Well, I've got a question for you guys. So season one, it was there was a gay male lead, right? And then two straight leads. And then this season, what is it? Is there three leads again this season or is it just you two?
There are three. There's Danny. I'm not sure why he's not here. But then there's Amanda and then myself.
Nice. Okay, cool. Jared, why did we not get all three of them for the trifecta?
Yeah, no, obviously we're working on a budget, Dean. You know, there's only so much we could be doing about these things. So Markel, what was your experience like while filming 12 Dates of Christmas?
I had a great experience. Obviously, you know, there are ups and downs as with anything, but I think overall it was a very exciting time. I had never done anything like this before. It was my first time being like professionally on camera. So this was really exciting. After the nerves wore off, it was really exciting.
Well, and it's not that you're just on camera, right? You're kind of one of the central focuses of the entire show, so it's a big role.
And then you're also dating on camera, which was like super weird because like you know that feeling when you go to a restaurant and you're sitting next to a table and you're like wondering, can the next table hear you? But it's like, you can't really do this now because it's a room full of cameras and they're all watching you like get to know somebody on camera.
They can definitely hear you.
How did you guys handle that kind of like those nerves? Because I fully agree with you. It's one thing to like be vulnerable and open up to someone. And then it's a whole nother thing for there to be cameras around and kind of shoved in your face. So how did you guys deal with that? I don't want to say pressure, but with that kind of like stress, I guess.
I mean, I was very much of the mindset of just like, you know what? We know why we're here. Let's just do it. Like, you know, getting over the nerves. Like, of course, I won't say that it was comfortable at the beginning. But after a certain point, it was like, okay, why am I nervous? I'm here, I'm doing this. Like, let's ask the hard questions. Let's like really get in there and just like focus.
So Amanda, yeah, obviously the show has not aired yet, but in the preview, they talk about, or they mention that you've been in kind of some toxic relationships in the past. Can you just give us like an overview of like what some of those relationships were like, or your learning experience through them, and what you've learned coming out of bad relationships, and what you're hoping for in a future relationship?
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like for me, I feel like it took a long time to learn about myself and get a little bit more of the self-awareness of some of the ways I was moving through the world and some of the types of people I was attracting. And I'm someone that because of some of the things in my background that I hadn't processed through, it's like I feel like I was doing a lot of trauma bonding and finding these like really passionate and sometimes really exciting relationships, but they weren't necessarily healthy. And then it obviously took me a long time to really learn a lot about myself too, because I only came out about 3 years ago, and I'm in my 30s. So I just think it took a really long time to just truly get to know myself and then start to explore that. And then once I came out, then that was a whole new world to relearn all about myself again and kind of go with the ups and downs of that. So it's been a long journey for me, I feel like. And now I feel like I'm in this space where I know a lot more of what I want and what I don't want. And I think that because of that, it puts me more in the position to be ready for a relationship because of just a lot of the work that I've done within my own personal life and the time that I've been single.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you kind of nailed it on the head. I think Jared and I have talked about this in the past on this podcast. Sometimes you have like these trauma bonded relationships where, you know, they give you certain types of feelings and you think they're good feelings, but then the relationship isn't necessarily like the healthiest relationship. And I think a lot of that just comes with time and experience, right? So like, as you go on, you keep dating and you figure all that stuff out. So it's good that you, have been able to identify that, but then through the show this is a question for both of you guys. Was there anything that you learned through the filming of the show about yourselves that you didn't know before?
Yeah. I feel like for me, I did learn that that I do like to take my time and really get to know someone. And it's very challenging on a show like this when you have a lot of dates coming through really quickly and you got to make fast decisions. And I think because I'm more hesitant because of my past experiences, I'm like, I want to make sure I make the right decision and I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing for me and the people around me and the people I'm bringing in my life. It's like, I kind of like take on a lot of that pressure. And I found that that was really challenging for me.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Marco?
Yeah, I definitely learned that I'm a Libra. I'm not like a huge astrologist, but we get the reputation for being very indecisive. And I learned that I'm very direct, but I also sort of like cater it to like not hurt people's feelings. Mm-hmm. And I learned through this process that I can be more direct when I like set an intention to be more direct.
Oh, dude, I am right there with you. You should talk to my wife about that. She's like, what do you want? Tell me what you want. And then I will do everything to try to make that happen. And I'm like, uh-huh. Well, you know, I like always beat around the bush. It's definitely a downside. Uh-huh. So Markel, I definitely relate with you on that one, my friend.
Yeah.
So Markel, I wanted to ask you a little bit as well. You know, what are some of the things going into this process that you were looking for in a partner?
So I think, you know, you can see from the trailer, I framed it as I'm looking for that same feeling that I had with my ex. And I can kind of like, you know, myself in Amanda's shoes, like she was just saying, you know, the fiery, the passion, the excitement that you get at the beginning isn't necessarily indicative of what a healthy relationship could be.
Yeah.
And so you know, just real. So that, and that was my first relationship. That was my first official, like.
How long were you guys, how long did you guys date for?
We dated for 6 months.
Oh, okay. And then how long before the show did you break up?
We broke up in July and we started filming. So about 8 months.
Oh, okay. Because a lot of people will ask, you know, when do I know I'm ready to start dating again or possibly jump into a relationship? So when did you know? When did you feel like this was your time to start going back into the dating pool?
I don't think that there was like a distinct moment that I knew, but I it took me a while to, not a while, but it took me some time to get over it, obviously. And there, it was just like a process of, you know, grieving the relationship, grieving the loss of it, of this person that I was spending so much time with. And then, I don't know, I just started like going on the apps, going out with people again and just realizing like, okay, am I ready? Am I not? I remember going on one date with somebody like before I went on the show and I was like, nope, I'm not ready. And I just like completely wasn't there.
Yeah.
Have either of you guys been in touch with any of your exes before the airing of the show to kind of like let them know what they're getting themselves into, all that kind of stuff, or no?
No.
No?
I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that find out a lot about me from this show coming out.
That was one of the weirdest things for me in my experience was having exes, I guess, see me on TV and then reach out. And it's always funny to see just kind of like the disparities between certain people that you used to be in your life and what they would say. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Being vulnerable is one thing. Being vulnerable on television is something completely different. So, I mean, kudos to you guys. Hopefully there's not, I don't expect there to be any negative backlash specifically from the exes, but usually it's coming from a jealous place, I would say.
Yeah, in terms of an ex, to speak on that, it's not even about the negative aspect. It's more so, you know, you don't think about an ex watching you date on TV when you're going through this journey, not to like scare you guys. But it is weird. I can attest to Dean that, you know, I had a very significant ex and it was just weird for her to like see these intimate moments that she's had with me being played out on television. So it's definitely, it's a weird experience.
Yeah, I do think it's weird when you think about it.
Yeah. You never think, oh, yeah, one day my ex is going to be dating on television. You just, that thought never, it never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
So shout out to all the exes out there.
Well, so you guys, the show premieres on, what is it, November 25th, the Thursday, right? Thanksgiving, actually, funny enough. Can you guys, before we let you get out of here, can you guys tease anything for us from the viewer's perspective? What can we expect to see just from your guys' experiences?
Are you engaged?
Okay, so what I will say, I think, you know, following my story and knowing what I've gone through, obviously, I think it's kind of going to be, I don't think anybody's going to expect, you know, what's going to happen with me.
Okay.
All right.
So there's going to be some twists and turns. Okay. Can appreciate that.
Lots of twists, turns, 90 degrees.
That's love right there.
Amanda, how about you?
I will say that there is a plentiful amount of drama, which that's Amanda. Always fun to watch. So, yeah, I want to kind of keep everyone hanging on how everything plays out in the end.
Well, we're going to have you both back after the show airs so we can actually talk about what happened.
So we can get in.
Yeah, we can really get in.
Have you guys had a chance to see any of the episodes yet?
We've seen nothing.
No.
Wow, that's crazy.
We are in the same place as everybody else.
Nice.
Where's my popcorn? What's going to happen?
Right, it's always such a fear. You like want to text your friends and tell them to tune in, but then in the back of your head, you're like, well, wait, what if they see something that they're not supposed to see?
I'm definitely feeling both of those.
It's like, fun, though. Enjoy it.
And like, oh, I'm sweating.
Enjoy it. It's, you know, not many times you get this experience.
Did you guys know each other while the show was filming? Did you guys' storylines cross paths at all?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
All right. Maybe that's one of the twists and turns right there.
maybe not. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
Right. Well,
you were there, you Markel. Come on.
I wasn't in all the places at all the time. So
fair point.
Okay. Okay. Well, I see what you're doing. You're playing it well, close to the chest. I gotta respect that.
I like it.
You guys, thank you so much for joining us. For the listeners that obviously want to tune into the show, it's on HBO Max. 12 Dates of Christmas, premiering Thursday, November 25th. I'll be tuning in. I'm excited to watch you guys. And then I'm sure you guys are going to be like posting along on Instagram and all that kind of stuff, right? So where could we find you on Instagram?
My Instagram is Amanda Grace Jenkins. And yes, I'm definitely posting. So
yeah, maybe we get some behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. And I'm at Dr. Martell on Instagram.
All right. Dr. Martell, gotta love it. Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited to tune in next Thursday and can't wait to see more.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. And this week, we have a couple emails. I don't know why I'm talking so weird, but I just want to go ahead and say, email us, please. isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. I'm going to actually, I keep making mental reminders to myself to send emails from an anonymous account for this podcast, but I always forget. So,
do you know what email you'd send?
Oh, no, I would just make up some incredibly ridiculous thing.
Oh, come on. We need something like from your personal life. You and Kaylin, just send it an anonymous. You know what you should do? All right, here's something that you need to do over the next, let's say, before 2022. So you got a month and a half. I need you to send in an email as anonymous, but it's an actual question about yours and Kaylin's relationship. And we have to guess live on the podcast if we think it's from you.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. We'll just play this game from now on until the end of 2022. Anytime an anonymous email rolls in, you guys will have to decide whether or not you think it's from me.
You know what's frustrating, Mark?
What's that?
Dean's not going to do this.
You're right, because this is kind of Dean's thing. He talks about stuff, but never does it. That's why Kaylin's going to have to propose.
Yes. Mark, I feel like you know me a little too well for your own good.
By the way, I'm happy to be here this week. Easton's here, Jared's here, Hannah's here, and the reason we're all here is because we heard last week's episode. So we're all hands on deck this week.
Yeah, I'm sorry
about
that.
That's really nice of you guys. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, you didn't miss much, but it was just me by myself. Hannah was obviously there as well a little bit. Riley was there, but I didn't have Jared, I didn't have Mark, I didn't have Easton. And let's be honest, you three are the clear backbone of this podcast.
If it just took me missing a podcast to get everybody else here fully loaded, I'm going to start missing more weeks. Let's do this. I like it. I like when everybody's here.
It really does feel like we're being spoiled when we get everyone like this.
All right. This is from Emily. This is not anonymous. We will not be playing the game. This is from Emily. And I think this is something a lot of people are going through this time of year. Emily says, Thanksgiving is next week and I'm starting to get stressed. There's so much pressure with relationships around the holidays. I've been seeing this guy for about 5 months now and my mom is begging to meet him. Last week I was in the car with him talking to my mom on speakerphone and she said she wants to meet him. Well, ever since then, he keeps asking, when am I going to meet your family? I'm afraid if I introduce him to my family around the holidays, it's going to feel more serious and speed things up between us. I'm super happy at the pace we're moving and where we currently stand, but also I don't want him to think I don't care about him by not introducing him.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of like make or break season in these weird purgatoried relationships where you're dating, but you're not boyfriend, girlfriend. You don't know if it's going to go long term or not, so you don't want to introduce him to the family.
I think we should all answer this first and foremost.
Yes.
So Easton, Hannah, and Mark, get your answers ready. But Dean, go.
Get your thinking caps on. In my experience, if you like the person enough and you know you're going to be with them for a while, why not just bring him over to meet the family? You know, like if you like him enough to kind of continue dating him, as it seems like you have been, just bring him in and meet the family. And a lot of times the family can kind of help you make decisions too. It's like, you know, you might not want to say it, but like your parents and your siblings definitely factor into your decision making when it comes to dating. So I don't think it's ever really a bad thing to bring them into your household for the holidays if you actually see it lasting longer than more than just like a casual
fling.
Yeah,
let them meet mom. Come on. It's been 5 months. I get that you don't want to make the relationship speed up, but at the same time, it's the holidays. He's going to be around the family at some point. You might as well introduce him now, see if they get along. I mean, hell, The Bachelor introduces them to their family like 3 weeks in. So 5 months is plenty of time. You're not speeding anything up. Meet mom.
5 months is a good amount of time to meet mom. I think that's normal. And I also think, unfortunately, Emily, I don't think you have a choice here. I don't think you can just kind of hide him throughout the holidays. I think you've got to bring him to mom, whether you want to or not. I know he's in the minor leagues right now, and that automatically puts him in the major leagues, and you may not want him in the major leagues. I think everyone will get back to normal, though, once the new year comes around, and then you can really decide if this is worth happening or not. I'm concerned about the future of this relationship because you don't seem excited about him meeting your parents. So I don't know how, if a year from now you're going to have the same problem, but I don't think you have a choice. You got to do it.
Yeah, Emily's either embarrassed by the family or embarrassed by the boyfriend. It's one or the other right now.
I mean, what's the worst that'll happen if you introduce him to the parents? Is he going to start a business with your Uncle Bob? You know, and like,
well,
I don't know.
What's going to happen, though, is everyone from now on, how's your boyfriend? How's your boyfriend? Have you talked about what's going on with your boyfriend? It's going to be a lot of that from mom and dad and brothers and sisters.
You know, I brought Allison to my grandparents' house for the holidays after we'd been dating for like 7 months or something. And everything, obviously everything was fine. We got married, but there's a memory from that event where we're all taking like pictures. And at one point my aunt asked Allison, she's like, could you take one of everybody? Like, I think cause she was like, we don't want if they break up in 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So. You're not family yet, Allison.
That was a funny thing that Allison will never forget, but a funny moment now.
So Easton, you're in the camp of inviting him to Thanksgiving?
Yeah, invite him to Thanksgiving. I say if you've been dating someone for 2 weeks, you should invite them to Thanksgiving. I think that it's the more the merrier, just invite them.
I got to say too, as we age, like as we become adults, getting invited to things like Thanksgiving, especially for people that, you know, don't have very close family ties like myself, it's always so nice. It's always so nice to like have an outlet just to be like, yeah, I'd love to come on, you know, over to Thanksgiving. I don't have anything else planned. So maybe like hopefully this guy has like Thanksgiving with his family planned. That way you can invite him. Maybe he can say he's going to go to Thanksgiving with his family instead. But like at least that way, you know, he was invited. He knows he was invited. And even if he didn't have a place to go, then you're still kind of, you know, taking him under your wing and bringing him over. So I think it's a good thing all around.
We have yet to hear from the smartest person in the room. Hannah, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm inviting my boyfriend to Thanksgiving this year for the first time, but we've been together for 4 years, but he's been around my family around the holidays, but not actually on the day. But I think that she could bring him around the holidays. I don't know. I do agree that bringing him around on the actual day, like on Thanksgiving or on Christmas,
it's a big step.
Serious. Yeah, that's a big step.
4 years. How did you avoid like last year? Or I guess last year was COVID, so maybe we threw a wrench in there. But even 2 years ago, you guys were dating for 2 years and he still didn't come for the holidays?
Well, I mean, he would come around the time, but on the actual day, he would want to be with his family. I would want to be with my family. And we were still young.
Fair point.
But now I feel like we're at the age where he's living where my family lives up in NorCal. So it just makes more sense.
Yeah, now you're old. It makes more sense.
Yeah, but I agree with what Dean said. I think getting the family's opinion and having them meet him could kind of be insightful and could help guide her if, I don't know, if this actually is going to work out or not.
It's also good market research, you know, because your sister be like, ooh, that's another guy for you. They're like, oh, I love him. He's so funny. He's so handsome. He's great. He was so helpful. He helped clean up after dinner. Like, it's good to kind of see how he interacts with these people.
It's a focus group.
Absolutely. I got to say, too, I've always firmly believed that I never needed my family's approval with the person I was dating, that like if I liked someone, I liked them and I didn't care what they said. But I think I told this story already on this podcast before. Last time I brought Kaylin, I brought Kaylin around my brothers many times. My oldest brother, the person I look up to more, even more than Mark, if you can believe that or not.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I love the guy really, really quite a bit. He pulled me aside and he's like, you know what, Dean? I feel like you finally got it right with Kaylin and I'm really proud of you. And I was like, you know, I never realized how much I needed to hear that from you before, but it makes a difference. So to get your family's approval on someone I think it's pretty important.
That's a sweet story.
That is a sweet story. So the second email's from Capri. Mark, I don't mean to step on your toes, but I'm curious because it's four questions. Could we do like a speed round where all of us answer it really quickly?
Okay, fine. Here we go. Capri says, first question, what was your first impression about your partner?
She cries a lot.
Yeah, dramatic.
Giant ass.
You better be talking about Allison.
I am.
Okay, good.
Eyes and face in general.
Mm, nice.
Athlete. I don't know.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you started to do something because of each other's influence?
I've showered more often because of her influence. Oh,
thank God for Kaylin on that one.
Thank you, Kaylin.
Woof.
Jared?
I would say I've definitely been more, I've been able to articulate more directly what I want in life.
Mm. Nice.
I mean, it's been 24 years. It's a long list, but I'll say I've become a dog lover because I never had pets growing up.
You weren't a dog lover before your wife?
I didn't have any pets. I didn't have dogs, cats, I didn't have anything. I never lived with a dog until my wife.
Well, at least you've come to the right side now.
Thank you, Jared.
I mean, I have a long list too, but the two that come to mind are drinking more water and wearing sunscreen.
Oh, sunscreen. Nice. I haven't come around on the sunscreen thing yet, but maybe one day.
You'll get there.
Mine would be to be better about managing my money.
Oh, okay.
Good. Say sorry to your partner even if it's not your fault?
Yes.
Oh.
All the time.
I do it sarcastically pretty often. Does that count?
Oh, this is so Dean to dig in his heels.
I have a hard enough time saying sorry when it actually is something I'm sorry for. So if it's not my fault, you're hard pressed to get me to say sorry if it's not my fault. That's for sure.
I'll say whatever brings peace sooner, I will do.
1,000%.
Yeah. I say it when it's not my fault almost exclusively.
And my answer is absolutely not. I'm so stuck.
Yeah. Nice. Me and Hannah, we got this one. I mean, maybe eventually we'll come around to your guys' way of thinking, but if it's not your fault, why apologize?
Dean and Hannah they chose violence this morning.
And finally, Capri asks, what is something you are looking forward to with your partner?
Having a kid.
Mm,
good one.
Oh, yeah. That's just an obvious one. Something I look forward to with my partner.
Come on, there's a clear answer here, Dean.
No, I know, but there's obvious answers and there's less obvious
answers.
Dude,
I want that Us Weekly headline. I'll be the inside source, all right?
Yeah, an inside source close to Dean. Something I'm excited to do with my partner. Just, you know, more travel, I guess. We're going to South Africa with each other in a couple months, so that's something I'm looking forward to.
That's a good one. Next year is our 20th wedding anniversary and our 25th anniversary of being together. We're planning a trip, and it looks like we're heading your way, Jared. We're looking at Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, you guys are coming during the summer, right?
Yeah, next August.
Oh, sweet, dude. Let me know. We'll have a beer on the Cape.
Excellent.
I don't know, nothing specific. I'm just looking forward to experiencing more life with her. Everything, seeing new places, doing new things, and I don't know. Just everything I do with Allison is fantastic. So I'm looking forward to doing more of that.
I'd like to, before Hannah answers, I just want to point out, Easton, your time spent in Nashville for Ben and Jess's wedding. Very impressive. You were there for a couple days. You hit every museum, you crossed everything off your list.
Every
that you
tourist
to
attraction in Nashville.
It was fun to watch. You guys are great travelers. I feel like I would want you to write an itinerary for me for the next time I go somewhere.
When we go someplace, we do it all, and she does all the bullshit I want to see. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
It's great. I was impressed.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to going to New York with Trevor for Jingle Ball.
Oh.
I've never been to New York before, and it's been his dream.
That's great.
Isn't Jingle Ball next week or something like that?
LA is December 3rd, but New York is the week after, so coming up.
We used to go every year for Jingle Ball New York, and it's just the best time of the year to be there. It's so great. I love going to see the tree. It's really, it's awesome. It is magical.
Is Help I Suck at Dating not allowed to go to Jingle Ball this year?
Apparently not anymore. It's not in the budget
yet. I haven't got that invite yet. I guess maybe I'll just keep my eyes peeled on my email.
But Becca and Tanya will be there. Scrubbing It will be there.
They're probably going to be freaking hosting the event. Anyways, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Mark, Easton, Hannah, thank you guys so much for chiming in and helping us answer these questions. Keep emailing us, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Big thank you, of course, to Markel and Amanda. Be sure to watch HBO Max's 12 Dates of Christmas, Thursday, November 25th premieres. Thanks for Jared for sticking around and coming to host this podcast with me this week.
I would say really anytime, but I've missed a couple podcasts, so hopefully next week.
It's totally, totally understandable, man. You got a lot going on. But yeah, maybe next week where maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.